All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started here. Good morning to you all. Thank you for being here. My name is Daniel Baker. I have been telecommuting for, 13 years now in the tech industry. I work on the internet as a programmer, system administrator. I've been, manager, all of these things, at different times. I had worked for a single company for most of that time and only recently changed jobs, and so I have new challenges as a telecommuter there that I'll speak to. Since we have such a small crowd here, are any of you currently telecommuting, full-time, part-time, anything? Okay, cool. Excellent. Sort of. All right, cool. And so the rest of you have an interest in learning just about it, how to convince your company or what benefits you can tell them that there may be from it, or you're just interested in hearing about it?
Where I work, they actually plan to turn my job into the telecommunications in about a year.
Okay, well, that's cool. It's probably worth the wait, right?
I've heard in California that they actually give incentives to companies to allow for.
There are several states, I think Arkansas, Arizona, California in some cases. Atlanta at least did for, they had a deadline that was last October. The main incentive there, their main push was a clean air initiative. But I couldn't find anything when I went looking to see if that's continuing on or not. But hopefully it will. And I wish that it would expand to the rest of Georgia because I don't live or work in Atlanta. Hopefully more states will begin to do this. Just to give a little bit more background here, that like I said, I've been telecommuting for over a decade now. Most of my responsibilities have been things that traditionally can be done without having to be spend too much face time with people. But I had a unique situation. It was the beginning of the dot-com era. I had worked for a nice solid company with cubicles for everybody, and I had one particular customer I dealt with who needed my expertise, and I was unwilling or unable really to do any consulting for them. And I said, well, hire me, and I'm not moving to California. You need me, so but I don't really want to live in California. It costs too much anyway. I want to move back to Georgia. I had lived in North Virginia at the time, and they went for it. And little did I know, they were still working out of one of their mother's garages at the time. But I got a pretty good deal out of it. I began telecommuting at that point full time. And before that, I had got my first taste of it working up north in North Virginia. I opted to turn around after my 45-minute commute had turned into a two-hour commute. I'm sure that all of you can relate with this. Due to snow, maybe not that aspect down here, I decided to turn home instead. And I was fortunate that I did, because it snowed even more that night. Everybody who had gone to work that day was snowed in, stayed at the office for about, the rest of the week. I telecommuted during that time, and I thought, wow, this is great. Even with the crude tools that we had to do my job, I could still get things done, and there are fewer distractions. I could be home with my wife, and it was just grand. Now that I'd had a taste of it, I wanted more of that. So when the other company came along, it's like, I want to telecommute. I can do this job remotely for what you want me to do, which was system administration and programming, and I can talk to you on the phone, when you need to talk to me. And from there, the team that I worked with grew over time, the sort of core team working on, we sold Usenet access. For those of you familiar with Usenet, the team grew because there aren't that many Usenet experts in the world or people who actually have experience with this. So whenever we wanted to hire somebody who actually knew what they were doing, in order to bring in that expertise, we'd either have to convince them to move to California, find them in California in our area already, or offer them telecommuting. So we went with the final option there, and we managed to build a team of, five core people who were all across the globe. Myself in Georgia, I had a fellow in Texas, one in New Jersey, one in the UK, and then we ended up with several in Salt Lake City and one out in California who actually had to go into the data center to work on things. So he was the only one who had to commute at all, and that was only rarely. And this was sort of a unique setup, and this was not how things began. But we, I found that that's probably the ideal, is when you're working with other telecommuters, they can understand all of your issues. My manager telecommuted, which really I think is a big factor. That's one of the big challenges that many people will face, is that they'll have a traditional manager who would really like to be looking over your shoulder, you know, make sure you're in your cube and typing, you know, and they don't catch you with YouTube up or whatever too often. And they'd be nervous, you know, uncertain about, you know, are you, what are you doing at home? You know, are you doing laundry? You know, are you watching the soaps? Or, you know, what are you doing there? To have a manager, to have a full team that telecommutes, you remove a lot of the issues there. And that I was fortunate. And earlier this year, I moved to a new company. The company I'd worked for was consumed by a new by a competitor, and I moved over, and I'm the only telecommuter. And that's been a different situation. I've been lucky that they've been flexible. You know, they just, it's something where we're still working on all the processes. And that's one of the things that, when you're in a situation like yours where they're going to be changing your job over to telecommuting, a lot of times, you know, there will be I would expect a loss of productivity to begin with, unless you go in there and really, you know, you try some trial periods, work it out, get your processes in order. And a lot of the things that have helped me with this new company, because I had my routine in at the other company, and it's almost secondhand. I mean, I couldn't not telecommute. In fact, you know, that's a bit of a downside, is, you know, I'd sit down at the computer and I'd find a little bit of work to do. But in the new company, one of the big things for a telecommuter is to be organized. You really need to be able to substantiate, you know, that you are doing things both for your management and for your coworkers, so your coworkers don't believe that you're just at home watching soaps and doing the laundry, you know, or watching your kids, but, you know, also just to be able to keep up with that. You lose sort of the office structure, you lose the ability to differentiate in many ways the home and work. So if you're more organized, you'll make better use of your time, of course, and you will be able to substantiate that you are working, which is one of the big concerns in a lot of companies. Let me get over here. So let me get on track with my PowerPoint again. Another big aspect, another big deal, which we didn't get right to start with. When I first started telecommuting, everything was done with email and phone. And that was, it was serviceable because we didn't have anything else, you know, at the time. Later on, when we had everybody telecommuted and we had lost, you know, nobody really wanted to be on the phone all day, set up an IRC server, for those of you familiar with that. You can do the same thing with instant messaging and set up a chat room online. And that allows you to remain in constant contact, you know, so that you can leave a message, you know, for somebody in your group, you know, who works with you. You can contact them. You can have a water cooler channel, you know, someplace where you can sit and joke, or you can get to know people. Because that's one of the other downsides. If you haven't worked with the people for a while, you know, and this was, I had worked for the same with the same group for, you know, 5 years in that period, and so I knew everybody just fine. You know, there was no interpersonal issue. But if you come into a new situation, it really is important to get to know the people that you're working with, especially if you're not going to be there dealing with them face to face. There are issues with people who read different tone into your email, you know, or that you read different tone into their email than what was expected, or chat online. The English language doesn't carry all the inflection when typed that you would get when spoken. So you, there are definite benefits to being able to, you know, already know that you're on the same wavelength, to have you know, a common ground established, so that when you write somebody an email and you're just being quick, and they don't get it and think that you're being terse or that you're being demanding. So getting to know your coworkers, even if you're telecommuting, is, in my opinion, a very important thing. Maintaining that personal communication, in addition to just your regular business communication. And I found that to be more challenging in a traditional, well, not so traditional, but a company that's rooted in, you know, an office. It can be a chore. People aren't used to being on IRC all day. They don't, may not feel that's a proper use of their time, you know, and they're used to getting up and wandering over to somebody else's cubicle or wandering past and saying hi. So it's a very different thing if your whole team doesn't telecommute to be able to keep, you know, encourage that in the office. Keeping up communication with your management, it's another big issue, and that falls back on the organization. One of the things that I found useful is I keep just a short work journal every day, in addition to, because I'm a programmer, I make commits, I actually, you know, have to show incremental, you know, that yes, I'm coding, you know, I really am, I have done something that I felt was worth the, you know, saving, so they get to see that. But I've got my own work journal, so I know what I did yesterday, I know what I did several days ago, and if my management's always like, you know, if my management should come to me or my management should change to somebody who's less telecommute friendly, then I can say, yeah, I know exactly what I did yesterday, I know roughly how long I took on it, I know what I accomplished, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow, and I know what I've left sitting. So that can really help with the organization. It's something that most people aren't going to do, you know, because you've got, you know, if you're in an office situation, some people may be that organized. I don't think I would have been in an office. It's worth being disciplined in that way. Let's see. I think probably you're all familiar with what you think would be the benefits to yourselves with telecommuting. You know, to me, I have a family, I have a young child, I can be at home idly watching my daughter, you know, while my wife runs out for something, I can be there if she needs something. I, you know, don't have the commute, I don't have the gas prices which to deal with so much. And so there are many benefits there that I think are the more common knowledge ones, but I'd like to hear what, if there's anything else that y'all are looking for out of this, what, you know, what do you expect out of this? I might be able to give feedback on, you know, any particular benefits beyond those that you expect. No?
Specifically with telecommuting, in your experience, do you set a particular schedule every day that you work? You're always going to work 8 to 4? Is this a thing where you're flexible and you move it to Saturday or Sunday?
At my previous company, it was very flexible because everybody telecommuted. They really understood the thing. If I wanted to go and buy groceries in the middle of the day, I felt very comfortable with just saying, "Hey, I'm going to be out for a bit. You know, call me on my cell phone if you really need me." You know, if I felt that something pressing might come up, I might take my laptop too, just so that, you know, I could always go back to the car and have, you know, get on, fix whatever broke or, you know, what was needed. It really is going to depend on the company for that. It's one of the things that even with a full telecommuting company, we had issues where one of the guys came in at around 4 p.m. and he was East Coast. I was East Coast. And we had people who were West Coast, so it was all, you know, split time zones anyway. We generally aimed for West Coast because that's where the parent company was. But he came in at 4, and there were days where I'd be sitting there like, you know, where is he? Yeah, I've got something that I need him for in order to move forward. And in that situation, you really need to have some understanding with your coworkers, because if your job depends on other people or they depend on you, it's important to be to at least have an established time. I will be here, you know, during these hours. I might be, you know, I'll let you know if I have to be out for a while, but you know, on a day-to-day basis, you can expect to find me here, you know, at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. and, you know, I'll be here until this time. I do a lot of flex time on my own. It's not an organized thing so much. When I get in late, you know, or if I have something come up during the day, I'll wait until everybody's, you know, my wife and child are asleep, and that gives me nice quiet time at home in which I can, you know, really do some hardcore programming, you know, and just work the night away. And I know that I don't need anybody for these things as well. You know, I don't need any of my coworkers. So, yeah, that's another benefit that I had even taken for granted there.
You've done an excellent segue into my second question.
Sure.
Specifically, I work with a team. I manage a team that's pretty global, developers.
Cool.
We have a developer journey. Germany, a developer in Italy, a developer in Russia, a developer in Japan, and a couple in the U.S. The biggest problem that I see with telecommuting, I've only been doing this for less than a year now, on the telecommuting side, is trying to adopt agile development methods with a team that's so dispersed. And we have so, I mean, we overlap, but it's only maybe 1 or 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How would you deal with this situation?
Well, from, let me see, when our fellow in the UK actually switched to near West Coast U.S. hours, and you know, he was free to do so. He didn't have a family to interfere with that, you know, to put other demands on him. You know, he didn't have a wife who was like, you know, you're totally off sync from me. And so in that case, he could change his hours. And if it's a, you know, for a job, you know, it's a paying thing, then people may, you may want to try and gel people at, to a particular time. There, it was somewhat awkward when, you know, an hour before we went to lunch, he would be going to dinner. And, you know, we just got used to that. But the worst offenders were those of us who are on the East Coast, myself and one of my coworker in New Jersey, who, you know, I would come in at noon or one, and he would come in at 4 or 5 or maybe later, and everybody on the West Coast was already at work. And so it, people can adapt their sleep schedules, and hopefully they'll do it in a positive way to that. I've also heard, if, for yourself as management, you may be the one who has to bend and, you know, do meetings with the people in Europe at, one day and adjust your schedule to that, and then do meetings with, the more, Japanese and Asia-centric, on another day and provide that bridge. And I have heard a friend of mine who manages a team in India spends a lot of late night hours, coordinating, and he has to manage people in the U.S. So he, it can definitely be hairy. And another project that I work on, we have people who are, a lot of people in the, in Europe and a lot of people in the U.S. And, but it's, just a side project. And we, none of us treat it as a job. We all have other jobs. And so we just catch each other as we can. We use message boards. We use IRC and pass messages to each other so that that can be there. But if you have people who need to be able to work together, then you're probably going to have to ask them to change their sleep schedules. So anyone else? Any other questions along those lines? Or? Sure.
We've actually done this with the shifting of hours.
Yeah.
We do projects with the folks in the UK. And what I do on my end is, during UK projects, I switch my hours from 4 a.m. to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock a.m. And this might seem awkward, but it actually ends up working really well, because when 11 o'clock hits, you're done, and you have the rest of the day, whatever you want for yourself, that you couldn't normally do on a regular 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 type job, where you can go to the store or go to the bank or take care of all the things.
Excellent. Anyone else? Sure.
What about companies that are like completely decentralized? Like, I'm currently looking for new work, and kind of sometimes I see wanted for like projects for companies that are completely decentralized, like their presence in California, but they're marketing down in Texas, and programmers up in Chicago. So, is there anything special you have to do in that situation?
I would think that that almost is even more, well, that would be probably an easier situation to pitch or to, you know, implement telecommuting, because you would already have, that you already have to work with people in different locations. So why can't you just be, you know, in the fourth location, so that you can be in another there? I wouldn't see it, you know, within a four-hour time zone span, that becomes more easy to deal with. More or less, we always, at the first company I worked for, we identified, the West Coast as a time to shoot for. You know, it was convenient for us on the East Coast to sleep late, and everybody over there, could get up by that time, and, we had overlapping hours during which we could work. For companies that have brick-and-mortar offices that people are coming into, it, they would probably just have to accept that there is a, you know, sort of a core time where everybody overlaps, and that before that you'd rework your schedule so that you did the things that didn't require the West Coast people before they would get into the office, or, you know, you might have a situation where they come in early. So it's really going to depend on the company and how they already deal with spanning time zones. They probably already have some solution in mind for that. One of the other things I wanted to hit on here is the downsides that I found to telecommuting. And there are definite downsides or trade-offs that you're making here in many cases, especially if the company doesn't hasn't fully embraced it, or if it's a smaller company. And that while at first, you know, when my daughter was very young, and I've run into other telecommuters who started out, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this is great, work at home, you know, we have a baby, you know, I have to get up occasionally to change a diaper, you know, perhaps if my wife is gone. And then they become toddlers, and then they become a larger draw on your time, and they can get into whatever separate space you might have or might not even have for your telecommuting. And that can become more disruptive. And that's been a big change for me with a daughter who's now 3.5. And it's not quite what it was to start with. And that's just one of the hurdles that people who think that this is, that they'll be able to balance childcare with their job, it can be very difficult. You know, my wife is at home almost all of the time. I rarely have to do too much. But a lot of her job is, you know, no, Dada's working, you know, so, yeah, let's leave him alone for a little bit, we can talk to him later. And so that's just one of the pitfalls that I found. A lot of the things that I've come across also, people find it difficult to either stay away from the television, though now you've got YouTube, you've got the television right there on your computer, so I don't know, that's too different from the office situation, except that you'd have to hide it more. But in the past, I've worked with people who they're used to having the computer and a television, and they get too caught up. They couldn't keep up with what they were doing because they were watching shows all day, and they thought that this was, telly and telecommute was about watching soaps or whatever, and they really were. That really can be a distraction for some people. I'm not a big TV person anyway, so that I'm in a situation where I have my computer separate. Yeah, I'm not going to watch DVDs all day, you know, when I should be working or be distracted by that. But for some people, that is an issue. It's like, oh man, but such and such is going to be on, you know, I've got to catch that. Or, wow, you know, it's a benefit of being at work. You should consider that to be separate time. You know, go ahead and just block that out because you probably won't get too much done. Another one is that people find it difficult to have the fridge at home. That suddenly you can get up at any time and get that snack, you know. It's easier to stock the fridge than it would be at work, and you can have more snacks on hand. And so some people see that they're getting a little bit less exercise at home, and they're taking in more calories at home. So there's a telecommuting bulge that you might find as a result from this. And I would just suggest that, you know, that time that you would spend commuting, nice morning hours, you know, get up, do something, you know, exercise, and, you know, don't bring home the snack foods. You know, it's sort of obvious, but it's just something to watch out for. It can be insidious. It can sneak up on you as, you know, it's like you know that that's sitting in there, and you're just a little bit, you know, peckish. I could just go over there, and nobody's even going to notice I left my desk, and, you know, go and fix yourself a snack, and then come back and, you know, eat lunch. That's also a benefit, of course. You know, you aren't eating out every day. You aren't being dragged to, you know, it's a cost saver there. But it's something to watch out for. And the final thing, and then I'll turn it over to questions, is that particularly, I think because I was in a smaller company at first and we had everybody telecommuting, we tried to have advancement within that. And some people were able to advance, but we had such a flat structure that it made it difficult. You know, career advancement while telecommuting, unless you have a structure where, you know, like you're able to do management for that, and I think that's very cool for that, that it'd be difficult for me now, even, you know, with a decade of experience, and I'd rather be managing, I'd rather be working from that angle. It'd be difficult for me to be managing people who are all in an office. I, you know, that just seems, it's a different concept. you know, the manager's telecommuting, you know, I'm not going to be able to be in the face-to-face meetings. I'm not going to be able to, you know, go around and, you know, either check up on the people or deal with higher-ups. So I feel that it can be, it's something to discuss up front when you're moving into telecommuting. If you have a career path that you're trying to follow here, you know, think about how this is going to work for you. Think about, you know, where you're going to take this. Because while you can continue to do certain jobs, you know, I can program, I can do certain things, you know, if you really want to be able to move up, if you're going to, if you have a career path that's going to involve more face-to-face time, either don't fall too much in love into the telecommuting, or try and get into a situation where you're working with other telecommuters and where this can, you know, and discuss this with your management to start with. Make sure that they are there, they can recognize what you're doing. You know, it's another communication issue, and another reason to keep up with what you do is, you know, to you may have to toot your own horn more than you would in the office. You may have to, you know, bring your accomplishments more to your management's notice, and encourage, you know, work with your manager, try and make sure that you have a sympathetic ear there, that, you know, they talk about you in the office, you know, that you are not out of sight and out of mind, which can definitely happen. You know, you can fall off the map. There may be people who've never met you in the whole office scheme, and they may come, you know, somebody else can bypass you, or, you know, you're not there. You know, it's you'll be forgotten. It's wise to, you know, keep that in mind. You know, keep open communication, keep up the, you know, talk to new people, you know, outside of your department, make sure that they know who you are, be a little extra friendly, you know, so, and that more, you know, more than anything, talk to your management and make sure that they know about this. It's not a concern that they're going to be, they may be familiar with. They may not recognize that you're being cut out, or that that you feel that you might be. So, do you still have a question there or a comment?
Yes, a couple things. My wife and I both have telecommuted in the past, and some of the things I've seen is some companies, as in for child care, they say if you don't have a spouse there, that you need to have a nanny or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And also, my wife, with the company she was with, she was the first person to start telecommuting. And we actually moved away, and one of the things to kind of ease her managers and also keep that face time is they set up a schedule where she would fly in like once a month or maybe twice a month and take meetings and things like that. So they were still able to get that face time,
mm-hmm.
and the managers weren't so uneasy with just never seeing.
Yeah, I found that useful with the new company. With the old company, actually, when I was hired sight unseen, they didn't even have a resume from me because they had talked to me on the phone enough. And it was, I think, half a year before anybody saw me through some crude teleconferencing of, you know, the late 90s, you know, webcam. And the comment that I got was, wow, I thought you'd be older. And people seem to have gotten the idea that I'd sit around in a suit. And, yeah, this isn't what I wear when I work. And this isn't even what I'm wearing around the con, to be honest. So, and this, you know, the people will have a different opinion of you from that. And it is good to go out and have FaceTime. And that's what I've done with the new company. And I'll segue after the comments to benefits and downsides to the company itself from that. But I go out a couple of times a year, and I find that invaluable to be able to sit down and, you know, build relationships because I had not already worked with these people. And in a lot of cases, people who I'd interviewed before this, you know, just to find out more, a broad idea of how other people telecommute, because I know that my first situation was very different, where everybody telecommuted all the time and we were, you know, geographically dispersed, that they often, you move from an office situation into telecommuting, and you may already know that the team that you work with, you already have trust, you know, established and relationships established. People, you know what your usual demands on your time are. They know that you can fulfill your responsibilities. So, you know, that sort of that can be very useful. And in many cases, you know, if you're looking for a telecommuting job and they say, well, we'd really like you in the office for 6 months, unless, you know, that involves moving, and maybe even if it, you know, does, and that is to your benefit as well, to go ahead and, you know, establish these things, just make sure the telecommuting really is going to happen, and you know, set deadlines for that and, you know, ease into it, as you were saying. That's a good thing.
Thank you for your comments about FaceTime. I work in a data center, and I have to be on site, and that's another big disadvantage as to some telecommunities, that there are times you have physical access. But back on FaceTime, most of my stuff is shift work, so I work overnights, and I work by myself. So, I mean, even if you work at a brick-and-mortar company, you know, on site all the time, there are shifts that you won't get to see anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Our data center guy had, he's a Maytag repairman for us. He sat around, he planned, I presume, in the many hours that he wasn't at the data center, and we would send him in only when something needed to be replaced, and we would coordinate, you know, maintenance hours, and, you know, we may, if our schedules needed to be adjusted for a 2 a.m. window or what have you, then, you know, we would just stay up. You know, we had gear in the Netherlands as well, so, you know, we might fly somebody over there to do things there, and then we would have to adjust our schedules for that so that we'd be on IRC. He solely handled hardware and, you know, basic operating system things, and then we had other team members who would be able to communicate via IRC to coordinate, you know, bringing up the machine, going ahead and setting up the, you know, the whole system there, you know, and so forth. So, yeah, it can, I understand, you know, if you're there in the off hours, then you're already going to have that issue. And I know that all, related to that, I know AT&T does some telecommuting, and they leverage that for what positions that they had that would have been on call or perhaps sitting in a knock, but it is more watching to see if something broke. And they've been able to, you know, as a benefit to them, they can cut positions or transition positions such that now the people that telecommute have, you know, a week in which they're on 24-hour call. And so they've covered all of those positions. It would have been overnight watching to see if something breaks. And these people already have all the connectivity at home that they would need. They already have a VPN. They already have a secured way to access all of these machines. And, you know, a way that's going to be there when they need it. You know, it's not going to fail on them, hopefully. You know, at the critical moment, it's not like, you know, they have dial-up or consumer broadband that they can, might consider too dodgy to do this with. And so the company is able to leverage the telecommuters who are already used to doing this, already have the setup at home, to be able to cover the shifts that are overnight. And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, that's great for everybody, but in many cases, you know, if you're on call, you know, you might have to actually go into the office for some things, but many things can be resolved in that position. And the company, you know, it's a benefit you can pitch to them, is that, you know, I don't need to be sitting here. I could be sitting at home and fix it, what it is. I know if you do hardware, you know, they haven't virtualized it all. That makes it difficult, but, you know, that's a good point. So, and how about in the green over here in the back?
Three areas I'd like to ask you about. One, do you think you work more hours than you would if you were on site? Two, when people call into you, do they expect sort of 100% availability because they don't see you working? And three, what about administrative services, you know, things that provide in the office if you go right out at home?
Well, that is, I'll take them in reverse order there, that it does help to already be a little savvy about, you know, your equipment and all of that. Someone who already knows how to work the technology that they're going to be using in order to work, whether it's just, you know, managing their computer, keeping it, you know, up to date, making sure that, you know, that's working. The company may already have a program for that, or you may be completely on your own. You know, some companies will provide your hardware, some, you know, you'll provide your own, and you'll be expected to do this. You won't have an IS department to come in and fix this or that. You know, my voice over IP is down. It's like, we can't really come on site for you. If, you know, in my case, I work for a company in Austin, you know, if I have trouble, I'm going to have to, you know, somebody's going to walk me through it. They can, you know, other things that they can manage remotely, they can, you know, such as my router for a T1 that I have. They're more than happy to take that over. But for some services, yeah, I can't go to the insurance meetings. I can't, you know, pop in on HR. A lot of things that they've taken for granted at the new company, such as, you know, pay sheet or reimbursables and that sort of thing, where they're used to just, you know, people are in the office, you know, they fill it out, put it on the manager's desk. It's like, well, how do I do this? You know, do I need to mail it to you? Can I scan it and email it with an e-signature? Or what, you know, what do you want for this? You know, when I go out there to visit and I have expenses, you know, and so they're off, you know, if the company has already been doing this and they're used to employees being there, they may have to adapt a little bit. So does that cover the third part of that well?
Yeah.
Okay. The other part about the second one was availability. At the first company, when I first started working, and I was, you know, it was small, and I was the only telecommuter to start with, and we built a team after that, but for several years I was in it, there were issues with when they could call me. And they went to a head at one point on Christmas Eve at the second time my manager had called me at, you know, he called at like 3 a.m. My wife picked up the phone then. He was very careful about what he called after that. She was displeased, even though it was an issue that, you know, sure, it's my job, it's something I could have resolved then, but it's like, it's good to set boundaries. It's good to set the expectations as to when you're going to be there, because people may come to expect, and you may inadvertently, by being there all the time, people come to expect you to be there all the time. It's like, well, they're at home, or even worse, they've got your cell phone number. You know, and they think, well, you're telecommuting, you're probably spreading out your hours anyway. So I didn't have too much trouble with it, but there was, you know, there were some particular times when it overstepped, you know. But there are other times when it was cool, when, you know, they call me and I'm going up to Black Rock Mountain, and I'm, you know, halfway up the mountain, and it's like, you know, one of the servers in the UK is down. It's like, okay, I'll get out my laptop and get on my early cell phone connectivity at, you know, when it did like 96K modem, and then working, you know, across the ocean, that was very painful. But it was cool that I could be up there. I didn't have to rush home. We didn't have to have our service down for hours. So there are flip sides to this. Set the boundaries for when you should be called, you know, and when you really are available, when you are working, you know, and that also helps people to know when to expect you, you know, when they do have to reach you, so that, you know, if you aren't there, they don't start to feel that you're unreliable. You know, if they expected you to be there when they are there because they didn't know any better, then they may feel that you're shirking your duties, you know, or that you're slacking. And that sort of perception from someone who hasn't telecommuted before, you know, they, you know, it can last. You know, if they don't know you personally, you know, they'll stick with them. The last bit about the hours is, early on, you know, I worked for a dot-com company, you know, during the boom period, and yes, I worked tremendous hours. I was a workaholic, and telecommuting was very facilitating in that, you know, that at any hour I could sit down, you know. I had my office space upstairs and brought my laptop down for dinner. I had it closed, my plate on top. When I got done with eating, my wife took my plate, I opened up the laptop, sat in front of the TV, and I worked some more. And then we went to bed, and, you know, it just repeated. And it can allow you, if you're very dedicated to your work or if there are a lot of demands, you can be overused by your company as well. But I think that is that sort of situation you're likely to run into anyway, you know, if you're just entering the works, the job market, if you're just coming into it from college. A lot of companies are sort of looking for that in an employee anyway, somebody who doesn't have a lot of other commitments and that they can sort of milk for a little bit extra. You know, I worked long hours at the previous company just because, you know, it's an internet service provider. You know, two companies back where I had to work in a cubicle. Yeah, I would stay there, and I was like, wow, you know, this is the best connectivity I can get. You know, if I go home, I'm on PPP, right. You know, dial-up. I'm going to stay here where they've got, you know, multiple, you know, T3s, and this is grand, you know, a big computer. And so there are trade-offs there, and it's really going to be up to what the company expects from you. But again, if you're organized and you know how many hours you're working every day, you can pace yourself better as well. As it really, you want to strike a balance. You know, you want this to be a benefit for you as well, and especially with the potential that your career could stagnate at some point. You know, if once you get to where you're senior level within your area where you're just producing, you know, or just designing, than moving up into something where you're more management, then if you're putting in a lot of hours and you're, you know, going to hit sort of a bit of a ceiling there, you expect that you might, then you aren't doing yourself any favor. You're cutting into your paycheck. And one other thing is, you know, when you're taking a job, you may want to consider, you know, is telecommuting enough of a benefit that you're going to take a hit to your paycheck to do it? Another reason to work a little bit there and establish your worth, you know, your value to them, and then not have to deal with that. But many companies may see this as an excuse to not pay quite so well. On the other hand, if you work for a company in a competitive market in the West Coast or, you know, other tech centers, and but live in some place like, you know, Athens, Georgia, you know, or someplace where the cost of living isn't so high, it can, you know, balances in the other direction. So, does that cover everything fairly well?
Okay. Well, you mentioned IT, but our company gives us laptops and things to use when we telecommute.
That's nice.
Because of regulatory requirements and Sarbanes-Oxley, they don't want us using our personal equipment to do company work in case our personal equipment gets hacked or lost or something along those lines. The other thing I thought was interesting is you mentioned the availability on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I found in the office, if you miss a call there at the bathroom or something, nobody seems to mind. But if you're at the bathroom at home and your phone rings and you don't answer, they just assume you haven't been working all day.
Yeah, he's not in yet. I just stepped away. Sometimes I can't take a call. The regulatory issues would definitely be a problem, and that's that is a cost to go forward a little bit here. One of the benefits to the employers, you know, are often things such as, you know, people will say, well, you don't have to maintain a cube for me or an office for me, or I can share that if I'm just coming in a couple of days a week. And the person who I talked to at AT&T who telecommutes, you know, may telecommute 3 days and come into the office 2 days and then waste those days in meetings. But and they will have a spot, and they have a laptop, and they have a docking station. And they come in and plug in their laptop, so they've got everything already set up. In other situations, you may have a virtualized desktop, which is what I use, something like Citrix, where there is no real desktop. I can bring it up on here, I can bring it up on my Mac at home, you know, what have you. So I can remote in the office, and then when I'm in the office, you know, I sat down and brought my laptop up and brought up this virtual desktop, and there is everything where I left it. Other companies use a VPN solution. But yeah, having that hardware there will cut out one of the costs that can come up or help ameliorate the cost of, you know, a lot of people will open too many emails that they shouldn't. You know, their machine could be worm-ridden, Trojan-ridden, whatever, and you do put yourself at risk. And if you take, you know, if you're in accounting and you do accounting remotely, then you're going to have issues with Sarbanes-Oxley, you're going to have issues with the credit card. Now I can't believe I've already forgotten this. credit card regulations that the credit card companies put on you, and I can't remember that acronym. But anyway, that they expect all machines to, you know, meet a certain threshold. You know, if you're going to have the customer data on your machines at all, then yeah, you have security concerns. And if the company is used to only having their IT working in, you know, within their company, they've got their firewalls and everything there, and then suddenly you're over here and you've got a laptop, and that may, you know, strike fear into the hearts of your security department. It's like, well, what are we going to do with this? Fortunately, in a lot of cases, you know, the executives already travel more than likely. Other people may already work from home some, you know, or need access from home. So some of the solutions may be in there, but that can be an upfront cost to a company where they now have to expand this. They may have increased IS costs, you know, to do support for people who are remote, or to provide the security so that they have a secure solution so they can have a VPN if they did not already have one, or they can have something such as Citrix or some way for people to get in remotely. If they do more traditional work, if they're completely in IT, you know, if they program, if they're a system administrator, then they may just be, you can get by. I got by at the last company with SSH, and that was really all I needed. You know, I went to all of our machines. If I needed to do something on one, that was it. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't need a VPN. I already had a secure and free solution, and we all knew our stuff, but, you know, how to manage our own machines. But yeah, a lot of companies are going to go for your own hardware. Anything? Anyone else on?
Do you you think doing a job at home and being an hourly employee?
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, some people could be that. I would think that that would be more of a, when you're working at home and you aren't there to clock in and clock out, unless you're in constant contact with people, there are work-at-home things where you can be, you can outsource, there are companies that outsource their support departments. And, you know, when we had our support department, they had started, they had an office in Salt Lake City that they went into, and we decided that was just ridiculous that three guys went into an office and had all this, you know, had the bills from that. We sent them home. We, you know, got a good connection to one guy's house. They went over to, you know, met in his basement, and we had the phone lines shifted there. They weren't hourly, but it would be the same sort of deal where you could do support from home, or you could do a phone-related job where you're sitting there and you're constantly dealing with things. There's more tracking involved with that because, you know, the phone system can keep up with calls answered, calls not answered, and so forth. But in most cases, I would think that your job, you know, that telecommuting is more better leveraged by a job where it's more production-based, where, you know, they're watching to make sure you're getting your job done. You know, where at the end of a month, they expected you to have a certain thing done, you have it done. You know, or you can keep up with milestones. I imagine, you know, that's what you have to deal with managing all these people that so many locations that maybe more project management.
We also do time accounting. So
really?
We do clock in and clock out and show all the hours and show what they worked on. So it's very detailed.
Excellent. Yeah. Do you do something like, do you have, in offices these days, I understand that in many cases they do, they have things like scrum meetings where they'll, you know, sit there and, you know, everybody goes through, tells, you know, what they did yesterday, what they're going to do today and tomorrow and so forth.
We do that on large projects which have multiple, a lot of iterations, but during the year if there's a lot of smaller projects, we don't know what to do.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good to see.
Our company doesn't allow hourly folks to do telecommuting. The assumption with telecommuting is your role is more task-oriented than time-oriented. So as long as you get a certain task done by Friday, nobody cares. But I don't see how that works.
Yeah, I think, you know, in something...
Sure, it does. We do hourly, and we have three guys in our group that do remote. And if things tracked on what you do, you know, when you log in, when you log out, they have in the past kept a fairly good, you know, detailed list of what people do on a regular basis. The only problem is the three that we have that are telecommuting are also the worst attitudes of anybody we've ever met. So they spend more time griping about everything they have to do than anything else. They said, y'all are not selling the idea of telecommuting. And the others are like, yes, we would love to do this.
Maybe we need to trade out, you know, see the other side.
Yeah, I would love to. And it's all a matter of, you know, what they were saying about balancing your time and things like that. The easiest thing that I found was I have two cell phones. I have a work cell phone. I have a personal cell phone, and hell will freeze before anybody gets that personal cell phone.
That's good.
When I'm not working, the work cell phone goes off.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good way. If you're not on,
times that I'm not on call, and Christmas Day I'm doing a conference call, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here, people?
Yeah, so that's always a pain. Yeah, you don't want to be too available. You don't want to be exploited, basically, in this. But on the other hand, you know, people sitting around and griping all day, they might do that in the office as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the remotes. We don't actually have to listen to it. We don't have to be
great
attention. That's
outside. They complain about it in writing?
Oh, yeah, they complain about it.
That's sad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In chat, they complain about management. They complain about the tools that we use, which is true. The tools that we use tend to out at, you know, possibly the most time. But yeah, pretty much everything. You're like, guys, y'all are not helping the cause here. Shut the hell up.
Yes, in some cases, people just aren't really suited to it, or the job may not be, but since there isn't a real training for it, since, you know, our school system is all about, you know, go from class to class, and you're right there, and there's the, you know, managing figure, and, you know, we're all sort of experienced with that, and that's for me, I actually found, you know, in retrospect, I found that I, when I went to college, what I ended up doing instead is learn, instead of what most people do in college, well, okay, maybe more do this now, but I learned how to be a system administrator. I learned Unix, which I'd never dealt with before, and I learned how to work remotely with people, working on online games, on early IQ MUDs and that sort of thing that are all text-based games. I worked with people at other colleges on these things and never met them face-to-face, so I had project experience remote like that. And I felt that without knowing it, I was being trained for what I ended up doing, you know, what my job ended up being. And so that was a benefit for me, but many people aren't used to this, you know, and again, the discipline, you know, you really need to be more disciplined at home, both so that you put up a good face for it and so that, you know, you do get stuff done. And the brown right there.
Yeah, I work for a company that has a satellite office here in Atlanta. But actually, my buddy and I interviewed with them. My resume got passed to the VP, and I got hired by the other office in Chicago. The office in Chicago has a lot of people that don't do. They have laptops that are assigned to them. Most of the business analysts are in rural Pennsylvania, one person on top of the mountain.
Cool.
What they have is, I have to fly up there for the first 6 months I was up there, plus time in Chicago. And then I have a team here in Atlanta. Now I primarily work from home and go back and work with that team. One thing that I've noticed is, you know, the Atlanta office doesn't understand, you know, telecommunity. There are people, they have desktop machines. If they have to work from home, they have to be into that desktop machine. They can't face the machine home. You know, we were a separate company at the time, but we were bought out by Atlanta, now bought out by a company, Reno, which is completely telecommuted. So,
really? Wow.
It's, you know, you can run into the issues with, you know, culture clashes.
Yes, and definitely.
Definitely the Atlanta office is like, well, you have to be in there, you know, you have to hear the water cooler discussion and stuff like that. It's like, you don't have that in Chicago because half the people are in, you know, Florida or Chicago or?
Yeah, for the Chicago people, do you have used IRC when we had a full telecommute office, and we found that was a benefit to, we had more interpersonal chat after that, you know, and it really seemed to gel us as a team.
It didn't allow us until just recently, because the Marietta office wanted to put that in a new product. I figured Microsoft OS. The Marietta office is the .NET shop, the Chicago office is the Java shop. They wanted to do, you know, Chatter and a whole bunch of other things, open source. Like, hey, this is cheap. It's like, no, we have to pay for it.
So
that's helped now, and our manager, our director is like, you know, people need to be on this, because that way we can sort of can track when people are available. It's actually not as good as some other tools that Microsoft put. But it has helped. You know, people will pop up and ask good questions and stuff. Primarily, they have my personal cell phone. But it's pretty good. You know, I have two kids.
Wow.
And, you know, my daughter is just now going into kindergarten. So my wife is actually a teacher, so she's going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And my being able to work from home whenever I need to has helped with the wonderful kid credits that they're able to catch when they start school.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely been a benefit for us. But you can, the issue that you have to let management know what you're doing, and you do need to get some FaceTime or something.
I really can't stress that too much. Unless you're a consultant and you don't expect to be there for a long time, you know, a contract employee, and not gunning for a permanent position, then it really does help to meet the people, you know, and that I really did find that invaluable. I was lucky, one of the guys from the office came up at Dragon Con, you know, I didn't even know he was going to be here until the last day. He's like, wow, this is cool, you know, and good to see him again, and he's in my group even, and, you know, it's like, wow, they'll remember that I exist when he goes back, and he can tell the tale that, you know. So, and a lot of people don't, the culture clash issue, we dealt with that in the original company when we were the dot-com boom. We were bringing in people who weren't computer people, and a lot of our core group were people who had been on the net, you know, since the inception, you know, or, you know, since the 80s, and they were already used to all this. They already knew to take, you know, text communication, you know, accept it as if, you know, not don't read anything into it, and, you know, send back something that they're unlikely to read it, something into, And we ended up with some issues with people who came in and they weren't used to text communication so much. And you can run into this with email anyway, where you send something and you thought that it sounded fine, and they become irate and they complain to your management about it.
It's hard to tell tone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, and even, you know, my wife had worked for our company for a little while doing support, and, you know, she's all sweetness and nice and all of this, and ran into problems with people. It's like, how can this happen? You know, you guys must be looking for looking for issues with this. But yeah, a lot of cases, people just, they believe in what they do, and it's, you know, people like their own, they have to justify, you know, their situation. Or, and then it's just a societal thing, I believe, that, you know, just like here I am talking about telecommuting to often to people who, you know, already do it, or you know, believe in it anyway. They like to reinforce their own beliefs in their own situation. So you're doing something different, they may not understand, or, you know, it's different, and they like their way. They know their way. They can talk about their way. So.
Specifically, have you never known of a company that was telecommuting that swapped back to an office or put a central location? How did that affect? And to go with that question, would you ever consider not telecommuting or taking a job in an office?
They would love me to work out of Austin. And unfortunately, when I told him, yeah, the FaceTime was great, I don't think that I made a better case for it. However, I also told him that, you know, if my current job said, you know, which I've only been at for a few months here, you know, I like it. It's an industry that I know. I've already got the cred there. If they were to say, yeah, we really need you to move out to Austin, we'll pay for you to move out here, and the usual sorts of things, I'd say, yeah, well, if I'm not living in the place where I know, in the house that, you know, I love out in the boonies, then I'm going to have to look at other places and other jobs. You know, if I have to not telecommute, you know, first off, I'm going to look for other telecommuting jobs. Second, if I've got to move, then I'm going to look in areas that I might want to live in more. Austin was a great place, but it's not Athens. And, you know, it's larger, and, you know, things are more expensive, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a cost of living, you know, suddenly it's like, well, are you going to adjust for my moving there? You know, my money goes a lot farther where I am now than if I lived in town, if I had to commute in. Yeah, even if I had part-time telecommuting, and it just wouldn't be the same. You know, there's so many other factors in there. I have heard of places where offices came in, and, you know, where suddenly it's like, well, they're going to put an office near me, and now I'm going to be expected to go in. In fact, a fellow I had dinner with last night has telecommuted for 5 years, and suddenly they're putting in an office, and they're going to expect him to at least part-time be in the office. You know, that's it's a culture issue in many cases. This is what they expect. You know, they were only doing this because it was convenient, you know, and because, you know, they really wanted your expertise, and so they brought you in, and telecommuting was all grand then, but now, you know, we can have you in an office, and this is really what we like. This is what we expect. So that's something where you really, setting expectations is important. And one thing quickly to touch on it about that IRC, and you mentioned some other things like Chatter and so forth, that there are a lot of technologies out there for keeping in touch. One of the things that a friend of mine pointed out to me recently is an open source and free for small use program called DimDim, D-I-M-D-I-M, and it's at dimdim.com, which is a free up to 20 people teleconferencing app. Well, so that you can do voice and text and share desktop, you know, all on their website. So it's client independent, you know, work on Mac, it'll work on PC. I don't know about Linux, it didn't mention, but I presume that they've gone that route.
Does it require a client?
I don't know if it's probably Java. I finally remembered to look at it shortly before I came into the meeting here today. So, it's something worth checking out. They have you can run your own server as well, so that, you know, because it's open source, you can set up your own. They have professional level licensing. It's like $99. I think that's for the service or for access, and that bumps it up so you can have 100 people in a meeting. And I think then they have enterprise level, and it still seems, compared to other things, it's like a $2,000 a year license. So if you're at a large company, then you can do all of your meetings with this, and they may be happier that they're paying for their enterprise-y software. it looks like a good app. It's, you know, it's positioned so you can have a whiteboard, a shared whiteboard. And these were things that we didn't use at the last company that I worked at. And often we were left, you know, we were doing typical once a week phone meetings. We're like, oh man, I really wish I could just draw this out. And then we would get, you know, ASCII art from one of the guys come through on emails. Okay, I guess this, we kind of understand what you're getting at here. So it's something that may be worth looking at there. And there are other things there where you can have some remote FaceTime now. In fact, I've seen suggested that a cheap alternative for this that's fairly accessible is to get a PS3 and I can't remember the name of the, it may be iToy even, but it's like a webcam that hooks up on your PS3, it goes over broadband, and you can do teleconferencing there. So, you know, if you don't have this on your laptop, or if they want a different solution that's more dedicated, then, you know, it's an excuse for them to drop, you know, a little bit your way, and you've got a PS3 that the company bought for you. But this is a cheap solution compared to other technologies that, you know, are typically marketed to businesses. And then they can also have this in their office, you know, as a way that they can have, you know, teleconferencing pretty much on the cheap, you know, for, you know, $300 to $400. You know, they've got this thing and they've got the application for it. There you go. I think I've covered most of the aspects there. Some of the, yeah, the benefits to tell your employer, you know, I think I covered that more or less. You know, one of the big ones is that flex time can work, you know, both ways. You know, if you're just a little bit sick, you just didn't want to make that drive and you would have missed a day, that it's more productive for you to, you know, be able to stay home and work, you know, when, and also not infect your coworkers. Rather, you know, when you might have said, well, I don't want to blow my paid time off on you know, on a mild cough. Instead, I'm going to come into the office, I'm going to cough on everybody, and everybody's going to be out tomorrow. So there are definite benefits there where people can manage themselves and, you know, how they feel about things a little bit better. You know, that you can stay at home and be flexible as opposed to being in the office and feel that's too rigid. It may not be your best time to work during office hours, and if your job is not already if it's geared to they want you in the office 9 to 5, then, you know, being able to work from home and squeeze in some hours, you know, working late at night, you know, that can be beneficial to you as well. And, you know, you can tout it as improved productivity, but you probably don't want to press the, you know, I'll be available more hours thing at too much, or that I'll work more from home, you know, unless you're promising to, you know, I'll work instead of those 2 hours I spend a day commuting. And then, you know, don't you have to remember yourself here. Don't dilute your salary by working more hours and not getting you know, more compensation for it, for sure. Any other questions here? I think the next panel is at 11:30, Scott. So we have a little bit of time to linger. Yeah. So if y'all have any questions, comments, anything else you want to share?
Anybody have any opinions on certain technology in your telecommuting now? Like, I know you can use IRC, things like that. I'm in sales, and so I'm trying to get people to actually do telecommuting, but the thing is with me, all so much of what we do is via phone. Just trying to get the company to front the money for all the voice over IP connections, making sure everybody has a strong enough internet connection to get all that done. I mean, that's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, it's, you know, I have a T1 at home, and, you know, I guess kind of lucky that when I moved into a new house, I had no other broadband options. So, you know, I was able to say, you know, look, I can't do this on dial-up, so you're going to have to, you know, pay for a real connection. And they did that. That helps offset some of the savings to them, but it means that I don't have to worry about it. If something goes down, I'm not at the mercies of the cable company. You know, I have real broadband, and that can be very helpful. But there are, you know, like when we had our tech support people in Salt Lake City, and then we moved them into their home, and they could even have the calls routed to their cell phones. So there's a central number. There can be, you know, an in-office number that people can, you know, if you telecommute some days a week and have to go in for sales meetings, others, then you could still have an in-office extension, and it can be routed to another number and be tracked that way. and there are companies, I think we used an 800 service, you know, where we buy an 800 number and then they route it virtually. I think it's virtualpbx.com is actually what it was called. So that's an option. There are, you know, if you have a really keen IT group, then they may be able to set up something where, you know, you run your own voice over IP, you know, through that. You can actually set up your server, you know, there. You might be able to fall back on Skype. I don't know. I would definitely go for something where you can maximize your availability and you know that you're not going to lose out there, and that's going to be the point where, you know, you don't want to be down and not taking sales. And sales is often commission driven, and it behooves you to be able to take those calls and not be sitting there thinking, oh my God, my internet's down, what am I going to do? You know, have backup plans and, you know, work on the contingency ideas. If you, you know, everybody may not need a T1, but they may need some sort of fallback, you know, like, you know, cell phone connectivity is pretty good in many areas. You know, you can have a fast connection there. Being able to have calls routed to another cell phone, you know, you can have cards for your computer. So those would be the things to look into there, the virtual PBX, running your own voice over IP servers, along those lines.
There's another thing too. So it's the technology, and it's also the culture. It goes back to what you talked about before too. But I don't know. I think just like any other division, I think sales needs to get away from the whole, 18 holes on the golf course crap. Like I'm not into that at all.
Yeah.
So I think as more people really get away from that culture, it might be easier to.
Yeah, a lot of people have commented, you know, and things I've seen, that there are fewer distractions at home. You know, even if, you know, you have a young child around, so, you know, you can't be the primary caretaker, but you don't have, you know, the water cooler guy coming by. You know, you don't have people, you know, scouting for people to go to lunch with right when you're in the middle of your project, you know, and it's like, oh, but I really do want to go to the Indian place today, you know, or whatever. So you could argue that you have fewer distractions in that situation. And you know, you don't have people trying to schmooze and, you know, get all that done. But then again, there is a culture thing, and you do have to consider what I was talking about, that from a career path, maybe that 18 holes is where it's still at for now. You know, that if you really want to move up, then you're going to have to be out there with the VPs, you know, occasionally, and and that's just what they expect. So, anybody else? Questions, comments, anecdotes. Thank you all for being here.